The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. You can follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio and be a fan of our Facebook page, facebook.com/cruiseradio.
While you're on Facebook, by the way, we invite you to join our Facebook fan page, Keep Cruise in Jacksonville. The contract for the port here expires next year, and so there's some debate as to where it will land and whether it stays in Jacksonville.
Yeah, you'll find some good local headlines on there and some good conversation as well.
On this show, Orlando, Chris is our guest. We had the great pleasure of sailing with him aboard the Norwegian Epic not too terribly long ago. Had a great time with him. And we wanted to hear about his experience when he went to Alaska.
Yeah, he did a land excursion and a cruise, too, so I can't wait to hear all about it.
But first, Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, is with us. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
Okay, this sounds like a joke. I was hearing that they're thinking about Brownsville, Texas, as a port.
Brownsville, Texas, which, you know, you have to go and pull out a map.
Yeah.
They've got a wild idea that the cruise industry would be interested in two things. One, using Brownsville as a turnaround port, which means people will fly or drive into Brownsville, which doesn't have an airport, or that if you're sailing, let's say, out of Galveston, that you know they would want to stop in Brownsville.
And for those who don't know, Brownsville is on the very southeastern tip of Texas at the Mexican border, basically in the middle of nowhere.
The nearest major city is San Antonio, which is 265 miles away. The nearest airport, essentially, is Corpus Christi. So anyone that's flying in would have to fly into Dallas and then fly to Corpus Christi. So this could be a possibly a two or three stop for some people.
So why would this be a good idea?
No, this would be a horrendous idea.
Right.
And for Brownsville, it would really behoove them to save the money on this feasibility study that they're about to embark on, not to mention they're 18 miles inland.
Yeah.
So they should save the taxpayers hard-earned money and really, you know, realize this is not a realistic idea. I'm sure that, you know, Padre Island, which is near Brownsville,
right,
is very nice. 80% of all the people that sail out of Galveston, Texas, come from Texas.
Yeah.
So the reality is that they've already been to Padre Island.
Been there, have the T-shirt.
So, you know, they want to get to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So the reality is that there's no flying into Brownsville. There's no driving into Brownsville. And I'm not sure what's in the water down there. But there's not a chance any cruise line, even Celebration Cruise Line, would even consider Brownsville, Texas. And I just saved them, you know, maybe $200,000.
I was going to say, those feasibility studies aren't cheap, are they?
No. They could cost a couple hundred thousand dollars. And if any of these experts are telling them that they have a remote chance, please.
Okay, let's talk about the Epic now. It's on its third Caribbean sailing right now out of Miami. How's that doing?
Well, the bookings have actually picked up, which is great news.
Right.
And the ship is sailing full, which is very good news for NCL. But, you know, it's due in large part, you know, to the extremely aggressive sales that they've got going on right now, where they're essentially, you know, offering, you know, heavily reduced airfares, significant reduction in price, and very good upgrades. You know, ocean views up to balconies and balconies up to deluxe balconies, and it's invigorated especially their past passenger base.
So with the Epic sales they're having, that's what has the bookings up then?
That's the most significant impact right now for their bookings.
Okay.
Across the board.
And Royal Caribbean had their second quarter earnings call last week. Did we find out if the Epic is affecting the Oasis sailings?
Well, that question was raised, and the president of Royal Caribbean said that Epic was having a 3% impact on Caribbean capacity for the full year and about a 6% impact on the back half of this year, which is not that significant. And that's those are his quotes. And, you know, so their sense is upon arrival, it's generated a lot of publicity for the industry, which is always a good thing. It's not having a significant impact on Royal Caribbean's performance. But it is having an impact on NCL's performance, and that's really what matters for them.
Right.
Stuart, we have a listener email. We always love getting these. You can email comments@cruiseradio.net. This from Carol in San Diego.
Carol writes, a lot of itineraries show a private beach or private island on the itinerary. What is that?
A lot of itineraries into the Caribbean actually include private islands or private beaches. In the case of, let's say, Royal Caribbean has a private island called Coco Cay, or they have a private beach in Labadee, Haiti. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, private facilities for these cruise lines, and it's like a Robinson Crusoe experience. They've got all kinds of, you know, they may have water parks depending on the line. It's just a nice day to be able to go out, enjoy a beach. They have beach barbecues, all kinds of activities for the kids, you know, slides. They may have sunken ships and snorkeling and just hanging out in hammocks. These are some of the highlights for a lot of the Caribbean itineraries, you know, with the private islands, and they're just a lot of fun.
Again, you can email comments@cruiseradio.net or call 866-874-7957. Leave a voicemail. Who knows? You might end up on the show. That's 866-874-7957. But now our first guest, Orlando Chris, is a travel agent and writer. We had the great pleasure of sailing with him aboard the brand spanking new Norwegian Epic. They had a two-night media cruise and had a lot of fun. Orlando Chris recently sailed aboard the Coral Princess, had a nice land tour and a cruise through Alaska. Welcome to Cruise Radio, Chris.
Thanks, Matt. Nice to be here.
You recently sailed aboard the Coral Princess. Follow me at Sea Cruise. Is that right?
It is. It's indeed right. It was a 12-day Alaska cruise tour on Princess Cruises.
Where'd you fly into?
We flew into Anchorage from Orlando. It's it was quite a day. It was about a 16-hour travel day.
Oh, geez.
So first recommendation is try to go a day ahead if you can, because it's no matter where you come from going to Alaska, it's a long flight.
Is there anything in particular you should look for when you're booking a flight like that across the country to make things easier for you?
Absolutely. If I had to do it over again, first of all, book way in advance, as far in advance as possible, as most direct flight as possible. But I think that if I had to do it over, I would stop, say, in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And spend a day there, or at least get into town a day before whatever it is you're doing is starting in Alaska. Because there's basically three ways you can do it. You can do a northbound Alaska cruise, a southbound Alaska cruise, or a round trip from like Seattle or Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And on the one we did, which was a southbound from cruise from we started in Fairbanks and ended up in Vancouver. We did the land portion first, then a seven-day cruise. If I had to do it over, I think I'd get another day on the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and be able to adjust to the time. But on the other hand, if I had to do it over, I'd do it exactly the way we did, because they did a real good job with it, and we had a great time.
When's the best time to go to Alaska?
For 2011, the first ship that leaves is Disney Wonder, leaves on May 3rd of 2011, and then they end up, I think the last one goes in September, Norwegian Pearl goes in September 18th, so it's not a real short season, but it is definitely seasonal. What I liked about going when we did was that it was light pretty much 24 hours a day.
Wow.
You know, we were on several tours, land tours to begin with. And one of the bus drivers said, you know, we have 21 hours worth of sunshine here a day. And I said, hold up just a minute. As far as I can tell, the sun kind of dims about 3 o'clock in the morning, but that's about it. And he said, yeah,
wow.
that's really true. Because it never really does go down at that time of the year. Now, the days get longer as the year goes on, to where it's the reverse. And in the wintertime, it's hardly ever gets light. I think June is a great time to go. Pricing-wise, May and June are good times, too,
mm-hmm.
and booking as far in advance is definitely a great idea.
What kind of advice would you offer on what cruise line to pick if you're planning on going to Alaska?
Well, it kind of depends which way you're going to go. When I first thought about Alaska, I thought someday I would do Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
When I was invited along on this trip, here it was right in front of me all at once, and it was a land tour and then a cruise afterwards. I always thought I would do the round trip like from Seattle or Vancouver because I was used to cruising.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide to go with the land tour first or the land tour afterwards, I would definitely pick either Princess or Holland America. Princess would be my number one choice, I think, because they just do the best job there. They have the most facilities, and that counts a lot. Their hotel infrastructure is superb. All the cruise lines have cruise tours.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to go. If you only had 7 days, I'd say the round trip Seattle or Vancouver cruise is a good way to go. It's I'm tempted to say better than nothing, and that would be probably inaccurate to say so. But having the cruise tour added on to the cruise gives so much more, and you get so much farther into Alaska, and you get to see so much more of it that it makes a big difference.
Let's get some clarification here. What is a land tour? It sounds boring to me. Are they cool or what?
It did to me. In fact, I thought, to begin with, we got to get through this 4-day land tour before we get on the ship, and then it'll be exciting once we get on the ship, because I felt comfortable with cruising. I'd never been on a cruise tour before.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it turned out the land tour was probably the best part of the whole experience, and that's because you get up close and personal with the surroundings that you're in. We started out in Fairbanks, at the Fairbanks Princess Riverside Lodge, which is a great facility, and we did a riverboat cruise that went up and down a river where we stopped beside where they had a camp that was training dogs for dog sleds. And,
oh, cool.
And watched that. We saw
a
seaplane come and land on the river, get off and go. And it was just a really neat experience. Between shore excursions and land excursions, a shore excursion happens from the ship. Land excursion happens when you're on the land part, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But land excursion, you're more into the interior of Alaska, and you get to see more of what's going on there.
What kind of accommodations do they put you in? Are the lodges and the hotels actually nice?
Yeah, they are. They're not like 5-star hotels.
More rustic.
Room service and that sort of thing. But they're more rustic. They're lodges. Mm-hmm. But the views are spectacular. A friend of ours told me, you'll get to Alaska and you want to take a picture everywhere you look. And that was so true. It's like in every direction there's some other magnificent, wonderful thing that you have to take a picture of. Alaska is just a majestic place with so many natural wonders and things that the land tours make a big difference. One of the big things on land tours is to get in the air, either in an airplane or a helicopter. And those are not inexpensive, but that's a must-do thing for there. We did a flyby of Mount McKinley, 23,000-foot mountain, and that was one of the most breathtaking things I've ever seen.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Follow me. Have you been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One. Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun.
Cozumel.
Or New England.
Or Canada.
Or Italy.
Or Greece.
Or the Far East. Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One. Got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Let us send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE and the number one. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1 or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number one in cruising nationwide. Cruise One, yeah.
Cruise One. I'm a weirdo.
Travel agent and writer Orlando Chris is our guest. Before we get back into it, Chris, just wanted to mention this cool iPhone app that was released not too long ago from Costa Cruises. I just downloaded it, actually. It took 11 seconds to download.
Yeah, I've been playing with it all show. All 14 ships are available on this thing. It is so cool.
Yeah, 360 views, a virtual tour, I should say, of each ship. Photo galleries and descriptions, and
you can even view webcams on here of the different ships.
It's
a very cool feature.
That's neat. And just go to iTunes; you can find it right there.
And the best part, it's absolutely free.
Woo-hoo! Orlando Chris is with us on the line, and he recently went aboard the Coral Princess to Alaska. And Doug is probably going to punch me in the face because I bring this up every time we talk to somebody who went to Alaska. Both Doug and I have never been, so my only reference point is the Sandra Bullock movie, The Proposal, where they spent a lot of time in the very quaint village, the town of Sitka, which seems just so beautiful. You mentioned the majesty of Alaska earlier, but it just seems so quaint.
Ketchikan is one of those, totem pole capital of the world. And yeah. I thought, okay, boring, totem pole capital of the world, but okay, how many of those will be? In fact, I thought that about the whole thing. I thought, okay, I'd be saying about halfway through, okay, there's another glacier, yeah, so what? Here's another totem pole, yeah, that's pretty cool. But being there, it's totally different. It's the majesty and the huge size of things like glaciers are just beyond belief. I thought, well, you better hurry up, get up there and see it before it all melts because of global warming. Turns out global warming's not going to be the end of Alaska. We find out when we get there, and you can sure see why, because these things are just huge, and the state is just enormous. You don't have to look too far to find a map where they've superimposed Alaska on the continental United States, on the lower 48, as they call it up there.
Right.
And how big Alaska really is. It's just huge. But the people there are so nice. I think part by necessity,
yeah,
and part because they have a relatively short tourist season that they need to make a lot of money on.
Huh.
But they are very friendly people there. They can't do enough for you, no matter where you turn. They're happy to tell you all about the state, all about what you're looking at, answer the questions that you don't think you're going to have, but you do when you get there and you get into it, and you really get to learning more about the state and what they have to offer there.
That's awesome. What clothes are you packing?
Best thing to bring for Alaska is a hooded jacket that's fleece-lined and waterproof. That'll take care of most everything.
Chris, tell us about the food on board.
Seafood, big time star of the show in Alaska. And my best advice to people that love seafood is pace yourself. Because from the minute you step foot on Alaskan soil, they're talking about king crab and Alaskan salmon. And for those who are big seafood fans, there's nothing better.
Please tell me there's endless amounts of Alaskan king crab legs.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
They are, and they are fabulous. I bought crab legs. What could be the difference? But there's a big difference. These are fresh. They just caught them, and they just cooked them, and they're for you right there.
And you can eat as much as you want?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord.
Any moose burgers?
You know, I saw those. Yes, they're on the menu at places. I didn't try one. I don't know that that's even true, but that they do have them on the menu.
So your cruise ended up in Vancouver, which is out of the U.S. Is there any special disembarkation practices that people should know about before getting off the ship into Vancouver?
Yeah. Plan to spend a little time in Vancouver. We didn't. We didn't even think about it. And if I had thought about it, I think I would have spent the night and enjoyed the city for a little bit, because we're driving through on the way to the airport, and the guy's going, well, that was there's that Olympic thing, and there's that Olympic thing. And Vancouver's a beautiful city,
yeah,
too. I'd never been there before. But otherwise, no. Except, I take that back. Princess has a thing, and I think a couple other ones do, but I'm not sure, called Express Checkout.
Mm-hmm.
Where you set your luggage out at night, and they have it checked all the way through to your final destination.
Nice.
You don't touch it. You see it when you get home. Now, I was a little leery of that, you know, thinking, okay, well, what the heck, we'll give it a try. But it was there when we got back in Orlando, and it looked like it had been at some distance, but it was all
cool.
There and all in one piece.
That's
and
good.
That was just as easy as could be. And it's cheap. It's like it's $20 a bag to do it, and it's easy. What they do, though,
that's
is,
great. Actually, that's a great service.
Well, and that's not all.
But that's they, not all. There's
that's,
more.
And that's not all. They put you on a bus and seal the bus when you're on the ship. They escort you off the ship and put you on a bus and seal the bus. They put a seal on the door. right beside you is a truck that has the luggage on it. They put the luggage on the truck and seal the luggage.
Uh-huh.
You get to the airport and go through customs in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
If the seal is not broken on the bus or on the truck with the luggage, you go right into the airport and get right on the plane.
Nice.
No customs, no immigration, nothing.
That's great.
Well, it was unique. I'd not done that before, and that is really the way to go.
It was
just super easy.
He is travel agent, travel blogger, Orlando Chris. Found at chriscruises.wordpress.com, or you can follow him on Twitter at Orlando Chris. Chris, excellent to talk to you and hear about your adventure.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Chris.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, the fastest-growing cruise talk radio show in the nation.
Stuart Sheeran, the Cruise Guy, is back with your hot deals. Let us begin with another listener email. You can always email comments at cruiseradio.net. This one from Jennifer in Vancouver.
Yeah, Jennifer says, I've seen a lot of cruise sales going on lately by cruise lines. Are these sales really worthwhile?
Let me tell you, that's been a hot topic the last week, considering there's probably been four cruise lines coming out with all kinds of sales. And just because there's a sale, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are deals. What they are saying is that the bookings as we're heading into the fall may have slowed a little bit, and we need a little bit of help. But, the offers right now have not been too aggressive. But as I said, some of these, there are deals right now. And, we mentioned at the top, we can roll right into it as a great example, the NCL sale that's going on right now, where they're offering significant upgrades, discounts on the prices, and on Epic specifically, they've got a deal going on right now that if you book a balcony or a deluxe balcony or higher, you'll be able to get a $99 or a $199 air add-on, depending on where your gateway is. Which is significant. That'll save people a ton of money. And I've actually seen cabins for deluxe balconies, deluxe family balcony cabins, that were less expensive with air than the inside cabins.
Mm.
So now is a great time to be taking a look at the fall deals, because we are at the time of year when the ships begin to reposition back from Alaska and Europe back to the States. Especially with the ships coming from Alaska, we're going to find some fabulous deals. Not only in the Caribbean, but along the Mexican Riviera through the Panama Canal, as a great example. Coming up on September 24th, NCL's Norwegian Pearl, it's going to be doing a 14-night cruise from Los Angeles to Miami with stops in like Cabo San Lucas, Acapulco, Huatulco, Puerto Quetzal, Punta Arenas. It's actually then going to go through the canal. It's a great itinerary. And, they got pricing starting at just $899 per person.
Nice.
On an inside cabin for a 14-night sailing, again, September 24th, as an example of some of these repositioning cruises. Now, for people looking for the West Coast, August 22nd, August 29th, Royal Caribbean's Mariner of the Seas, it's only going to be there until January. There's $479 California resident rates, for 7 nights on Mariner of the Seas, $577 if you're not a California resident. And, heading to the East Coast on one of our favorite ships, Celebrity Solstice, again, still in the peak part of the summer before we get into the fall, August 22nd, August 29th, they've got some cruise-only rates as low as $799, which includes a balcony.
Nice.
Here's the best part, guys. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you book the August 22nd or August 29th sailing, you mention Cruise Radio, and you wear red shorts on Tuesday, you'll get a $100 credit toward a future cruise. So there's a lot of incentives out there and a lot of really good deals to take advantage of. So it's a good time.
Stuart Sheeran, the Cruise Guy, can be found at cruiseguy.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Cruise Guy.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio and join our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/cruiseradio.
Next week on the show, we have Andy Garnett, CEO of Special Needs at Sea.
Renee will also join us, giving us her full review of the Emerald Princess on her July 4th sailing.
Speaking of the Emerald Princess, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, this past Sunday, it actually lost power and propulsion right after it left Port Everglades for their little the little Caribbean cruise, but it's all back up to speed now.
It's good to hear.
Oh, yeah. All is well in Princess Land.
Good deal.
From the Cruise One studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.